on the grass at PNC Park as opposed to the AstroTurf? You think that's
I don't
the
know
why
just,
we don't see that contest
that just feels
anymore?
Like one of those 90s things that'll never come back. And if it hadn't been if the 90s weren't the 90s, it would have never happened. I don't know if they did it in the 80s. I just remember as a kid, you'd see that big turf carpet and there'd be some poor sap with a glove. And I think they'd have to catch three balls out of the jugs machine.
Let's go over some more names of note that have been released here in the last few hours. Quarterbacks now are dropping like flies because more and more teams are doing the opposite of the Steelers. The Steelers are a relic in this respect. They have tried to move into the 21st century in a number of different ways. One way that they maintain their old fuddy-duddiness is that they keep three quarterbacks on the active roster. And I think last year proved their methodology right. I mean, if they had jettisoned Mason Rudolph, he wouldn't have been around to save their season. So they probably feel validated in that the way that they do things with three makes more sense than what most of the NFL does, keeps two and then maybe stashes a young guy away on the practice squad.
Well, hold on. Did you see the rule change with that? So Pelissero had this. You're talking about like stashing a guy and bringing him up as needed from the practice squad?
Yes.
Pelissero put this out there yesterday. NFL teams were informed that the NFLPA vetoed the revised emergency third quarterback rule that would have allowed teams to elevate a bona fide QB from the practice squad an unlimited number of times. So the rule now has reverted back, which says emergency third quarterback must be on the 53-man, not an elevation.
Well, there you go.
So that is a little nugget of detail in there.
A couple of guys from the NFL quarterback draft class of 2022. Better known as the Kenny Pickett draft.
Worst quarterback class ever, the opposite of the 83 class?
Were cut today. Bailey Zappe.
Zuppe.
Who came in here and looked like he was surgical versus the Steelers in that Thursday night game. He's done in New England. And how about this? Arthur Smith's week one starting quarterback last year, Desmond Ridder, out after getting traded to Arizona. He didn't beat out a guy named Clayton Tune there to back up Kyler Murray. And that was the player that Smith had his fortunes tied to in Atlanta. Now, how much did he have to do with Ridder getting drafted there? My guess is he had a role. I don't think as big as Tomlin did with Pickett. So I can't completely absolve Smith of that. Like, I'm not going to say the guy was like a victim in their quarterback process, but still, he's got to be looking at Wilson and Fields and thinking that he's died and gone to heaven compared to having Desmond Ridder at quarterback last year, Chris. Even given those two guys and their known weaknesses right now. I mean, Ridder is not an NFL quarterback.
The only NFL quarterback really from that draft is Brock Purdy.
So it's funny you mentioned that. Only two guys who were drafted at quarterback in that draft are with their original teams, and they were both seventh-round picks. Skylar Thompson won the backup job behind Tua in Miami.
Almost beat the Bills in the playoffs.
And Purdy. Everyone else, Pickett traded to Philly, Ridder traded to Arizona, then cut. Malik Willis traded yesterday to Green Bay. Matt Corral cut by Minnesota. Bailey Zappe cut by New England. Sam Howell traded from Washington to Seattle. Chris Oladokun picked ahead of Purdy, cut by Kansas City today, and then you've got Skylar Thompson and Brock Purdy. Look, we all miss. I thought that Kenny Pickett would be Joe Burrow 2.0. None of us shoot 1,000%, even Hall of Fame GMs. Like, this is what Kevin Colbert said about that 2022 quarterback class.
I believe it's a quality class. There might not be the number of players at that position that there have been in the past, but it's certainly good quality, and there's going to be starting NFL quarterbacks coming out of this class for sure.
Technically wrong, because there's only one. Plural is not appropriate there.
And he tacked on the for sure.
I think something you've been doing low-key whenever that quarterback class has come up is just you've made sure that you have a little reservoir. You have a little resource of clips of other people screwing that draft class up, including
GMs.
You are doing misery loves company.
Yes, I
am. Absolutely huge way.
You better believe it.
I mean, it is blatant right now.
Donnie, did you pick up on that too? I'm trying to find as many people that were high on Kenny and as high on that draft pick as possible to create like a wall, like a coating of protection for me. So I can bring them up and reference
Kevin
them.
Kevin Colbert loved him. So did all these other guys. I was just going with the flow this time. Don't look at me.
I mean, I'm not going to attack him for that. I think it's a good strategy. And he's not the guy that actually made the pick. That's the bad thing. We got words of the guy who actually made the pick.
You glossed over this yesterday. I really think Ben playing an extra year would have done wonders for them. You would have had to stomach another year of Roethlisberger saying this old Cowboy still got a little left in him and all that business. But then they would have just dodged the 2022 quarterback draft bullet, Chris.
I know, but would they have been bad enough with Ben to get the 2023 quarterback draft class and have more access to it or whatever? Or just...
Well, what do you think? Do you think Ben had a lot left after his final season here?
No.
Okay.
But like they were somehow allergic to going worse than 9-8.
All right, so even if they go 9-8, do you think that takes them out of quarterback sweepstakes in the Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud draft class? Anthony
Richardson
draft class?
Richardson went fourth overall, though, man.
Yep.
If they go 9-8, they have access to what, Will Levis?
Ugh.
Right, so like here, just to rehash this very briefly, the list of quarterbacks from that draft is Stroud, probably a future MVP. Young, probably sucks. Richardson, athletic dream and wild card completely.
Someone Kirk Herbstreit thinks is going to get benched for Joe Flacco this year, but continue.
Levis eats bananas with the peel on, mayonnaise and coffee. Hendon Hooker, Jake Haener. Know where Jake Haener went to school, Donnie? A lot of people thought Jake Haener was a sleeper pick and sleeper prospect in this draft.
Well, I have the draft pulled up.
Fresno State. Stetson Bennett, who I actually thought was going to turn
the Rams
himself into something.
Up.
Yeah, he still might, I guess. Aiden O'Connell, Clayton Tune, DTR, Sean Clifford. How'd he do?
He got cut by the Packers today. Malik Willis, now the backup there.
Jaren Hall, Tanner McKee, who was pushing Kenny pretty hard in Philly. Max Duggan.
Oh! Hacksaw Max Duggan, baby.
I got cut.
So I guess my point is that
right.
They
would have had the trade up. You're right.
So that's my only point there. So maybe Roethlisberger for two more years.
Two more years of Ben. And then Michael Penix would have been here. I'm not in love with either.
I actually have a weird feeling Penix might be better than all, but like, you know, maybe those top three guys that people think really have a lot of potential. He throws the deep ball, man. He's aggressive as hell.
He's also had all kinds of injuries, like an operation board.
I am aware, but I would take the risk on a guy like that who can chuck it downfield accurately.
Some other names of players that have been cut here in the last few hours that might be of interest to the Steelers. Can I interest you in Alex Leatherwood? He is back out there again. He was another guy the Steelers were very fond of in that draft. He is an offensive lineman who plays every position on the line. The issue seems to be he doesn't play any of them well.
So he's like Dan Moore on steroids.
He was cut after being a first-round pick. He was cut by the Raiders the following year after Mike Mayock and John Gruden were blown out of there.
Let me give you a quick aside on that. So when I put out a tweet about Terrace Marshall was intriguing, you and I agreed there that Marshall, of all these cut receivers from other teams, intrigued us the most.
The Marshall plan.
Right. I had a bunch of people respond, if he can't hack it with Carolina, he can't hack it anywhere. Wrong. It's like when people talk about, I hate to say this, the Pirates miss on some guys who go elsewhere and play well.
Carolina, why do you hate to say that? It's just true.
I know, but I guess I hate to say it because it is true. Carolina has that vibe about them right now in the NFL. You want to know where I don't say that about a player? If the Raiders pick him and he stinks, he probably just stinks. It's probably not Raiders picked him. He's actually a diamond waiting to be unearthed elsewhere.
Gabe Stevenson released by the Bills, Donnie. Does that do anything for you?
Might do something for Triple H.
He's a former professional wrestler, but college wrestler too, right? Or just professional wrestler. Did he wrestle in college?
Yeah, he was like a heavyweight champ.
Yeah. I'm always intrigued by those guys.
Is it Gable Stevenson or Gabe?
Gable Stevenson. It's actually
Steve
not Stevenson.
Stevenson. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's easy to mess up because
Pony,
it's
who
uncommon.
Did Brock Lesnar try to make the team with?
Vikings?
Yeah, who did Bill Goldberg try to make
Falcons?
It with?
Falcons?
Yep, oh yeah.
I'm always intrigued by those college wrestlers, those Carlton Hasselrig types. With Zach Frazier and Keanu Benton.
I mean, they're insane. Like some of those guys are like insane
Teach
athletes.
Teach them the game.
I know, but there's so many. I think that's such, like, Hasselrig is so impressive to me because I think there's just so many, and Donnie, you would know this, you actually played O-line. There's so many little fine point details where you could be a great athlete, but you've got to pick up some innate stuff that you either have or you don't. Like, if it was just a raw strength game, don't you think Brock Lesnar would have figured out a way to make it work? But when you're going up against dudes just as big as you who are stronger and have the technique, it doesn't matter if you were a champion wrestler.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for a half century. Still waiting for the Steelers to cut their roster down to 53. They have another 45 minutes to do so. Patriots have cut a former Ohio State corner, a slot corner, Sean Wade, who started six games and played 37% of the snaps there last year. He's someone that was an elite inside corner at Ohio State, and then his last year there, they moved him outside because he was so good inside, and he sucked. And so his draft stock plummeted. He ended up being a fifth-round pick with the Ravens. We know the Steelers and Ravens usually share a lot of draft notes. And then he went to New England, and Belichick played him half the time there last year. So another guy that is now available who would be an upgrade over the lack of third corner. This is a very inside football day where we break down slot corners and
isn't this what our
wide receiver depth
isn't this
and
what
things
our listeners
of that nature
like, though? I think we've kept it light. We've kept it moving. I don't think we've like tried to linger on some of these players. We gave a very concise reasoning as to why we like Terrace Marshall as a potential.
Yeah, I had a good year last year in New England, but it's the same defensive coach. He's just now the main boss there. All right, Brian Batko's joining us. Steelers Insider Post-Gazette. Brian, the guy who lines up in the slot against possibly Ray McLeod, who is now the Falcons' slot receiver. Week 1, September 8th. Is that man on the roster right now, in your opinion?
I'm going to say yes, just because of the way things went down last year where they picked up, was it Desmond King?
Yes.
On the cut-down scrap heap, and it wasn't a plug-and-play situation, even for a well-established vet like him. So assuming they do consider going that route again, how quickly will that guy be able to get up to speed with what I guess would be three or four practices with their defense before they potentially throw him out there? So I'll say Beanie Bishop, leader in the clubhouse.
How strong, like, does he have a four-shot lead in the clubhouse, or is he barely hanging on? He's up by one, and he maybe bogeyed his last two holes here.
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter, Ballsy. I mean, just the way that Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin have talked about him and the state of that position, I wouldn't feel too comfortable slipping on the green jacket if I were Beanie. I mean, at this point, like, this has become a recurring trend with them for some reason. Like, I heard Pony talking about Sean Wade coming back. He was somebody who I thought made a lot of sense for them in that draft, but they are not really investing any sort of resources into nickel corner since the Mike Hilton departure, and that was even the first time they said, no, we're not going to pay big money to that spot, and they tend to try to fill it with undrafted guys, chip on their shoulder types. It seems like they might get left holding the bag this year.
Give us somebody who people will recognize and know the name, who you expect to be told you're cut and maybe you'll be back in a practice squad role, or maybe you'll be gone altogether between now and 4 o'clock, Brian.
Yeah, the guy that I've been putting in that category really since the draft is Isaiah Loudermilk. I just feel like the clock's been ticking on him for a while now. Bringing in Dean Lowry, who's pretty similar frame and has been there, done that in the NFL via free agency, I feel like was not a good sign for Loudermilk. And then Logan Lee, he's only a sixth rounder and he might not make it either, but kind of tells you what they're thinking about that traditional like 6'4 to 6'7 range, three or five technique guy. And he just hasn't flashed much in his time here. So nice guy, good in the locker room. I think he works his butt off, but that was a head scratching draft pick by Kevin Colbert from the beginning. And I'm not sure he's going to see the end of his rookie deal.
Brian, are there any receivers that have been cut around the league? Because I know you've been tracking this the same way we have. You're trying to get out ahead of it and wonder where they might be looking for that position if, you know, the long-rumored Brandon Ayuk deal never comes to fruition. Is there anybody that you think has been already jettisoned or still might be that would be a logical fit for them, either because of their familiarity with the player or just a set of traits that they might like that a particular guy has?
Yeah, I know a lot of people were buzzing about Noah Brown on social media, but that to me seems a little bit like a situation of fairly similar to Van Jefferson, but his name is not Van Jefferson and he hasn't been here since March, so he's suddenly more intriguing than the guys who are here. I do kind of like the Terrace Marshall idea that you were espousing. I mean, I just think back on that LSU team, and I feel like I'd take their ball boy to come play wide receiver for me based on watching that offense with Joe Burrow back in the day. So that's another one who's kind of on my radar. But, man, I mean, just the types of guys who are being released by teams right now. I mean, I know they're probably coming from stronger receiver rooms than the Steelers have, but I don't know that they're really much better or in a higher tier than some of the guys who are fighting to make this team.
When is Roman Wilson going to be ready, Brian?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's I would say, growing concerning question. I mean, he didn't seem to be too worried about his status to start the season last time we chatted with him. But, man, I mean, just like I was talking about, whereas if you bring in a new slot corner or, you know, anybody that you might bring in at that position, a receiver today or tomorrow or by the end of the week, I mean, they're not going to have a lot of time to get involved in the game plan for week one. And plus, you're going to be trying to evaluate them. So both he and Troy Palutanu, I don't know if they're going to be playing big roles in Atlanta. And obviously with Palutanu, it's different because you're either in there or you're not. Wilson, I wouldn't be surprised if he's fallen behind in the receiver pecking order, and he could be an inactive guy to start the season for sure.
Were they ever as worried internally about Broderick Jones after that second preseason game as people on the outside were, Brian?
I don't know. I mean, Mike Tomlin didn't shrug it off when asked about it, but, you know, he didn't like light into him either, really. I mean, it was sort of just a, we'll see how he responds with his next opportunity. I mean, there's not really a lot of room to be concerned, because I just don't, like I just said, I don't think Troy Palutanu is going to offer a whole lot of comfort, even if he has the three best game week practices you've ever seen from a rookie tackle next week. I mean, you still just haven't gotten to see much of it. What does Tomlin always say? In stadium. So, I mean, I think it's going to be Dan Moore and Broderick Jones week one, and you hope the talent and the pedigree is going to rise to the top for him. And, I mean, at that point, I don't know how long each guy's leash is, or if they'll just kind of take it game by game with how they're playing, knowing that this year's first rounder, who I do think was on a good trajectory before that first preseason struggle and injury, works his way into the mix.
Can somebody trick Dan Moore into mouthing off like Chooks did so that we can get this benching over sooner rather than later here, or what?
I mean, at this point, Dan Moore is not going to do anything like that. But yeah, I mean, his time is coming. They've drafted a guy at his position 2 years in a row. He probably knows he's on borrowed time, but I mean, he's got to keep trying to play well, and it could be good for him in the long run regardless. Maybe if it's at a situation where he gets benched for one bad game, but, you know, does he still hold some trade value or something like that? That could help him out and the Steelers down the road. But no, it sure seems like he's poking rookie tackle voodoo dolls at this point to continue putting himself into the lineup.
Brian, was there a quarterback competition at practice today?
No, but when it comes to this, Pony, I feel like I'm like the last guy who was – I'm like the guy who stayed to see the river of the Steelers quarterback competition. Like, a lot of people were mucking their cards after the flop. A few waited around to the turn. I wanted to wait it out, but after Russell Wilson threw one good-looking ball in completion Saturday in Detroit, I'm folding my cards on any sort of confidence in Justin Fields having a chance. But I do think that's different than – this was a foregone conclusion from the start. I just, from what I saw with my own eyes in Latrobe and in practice, they were working it more like divided labor than they ever did with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett.
Brian Batko, Steelers insider, on the state of affairs there at practice today, and also what we should expect in the next half hour or so with roster cutdown stuff. Brian, thank you.
Yep, see you guys.
There you go. Robbie Chosen cut again by the 49ers.
Guess he wasn't chosen
to be the Brandon Ayuk replacement there. He's gone. They also waived a third round pick, a tight end out of Alabama. You don't ever see that, but the guy, Mulsey can relate to this, tore his meniscus in the preseason. So, anyways. At 3:30, we're taking another spin inside the Steelers auction house. Here's how it works. We bid on player props. At the end of the year, if we get it right, we get a point. If we get it wrong, we lose a point. One of us will be declared the winner based on our plus-minus differential in that regard at the end of the year. Donnie does very well in these. He won our baseball bucko auction house last year. It looks like he's going to do it again this year. Steelers auction house last year turned into a farce because you guys ended up cheating. So we shut it down midseason.
I love it. I love how pissed you are about that still.
Russell Wilson passing touchdowns 2024. We'll start the bidding at five.
Hold on. Over I like five. To do today's date here. I'll take six.
For Mr. Unlimited.
I'll take six. Going once, going twice. No.
I'll go seven.
Seven to Donnie.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten.
11.
Curiously silent over there. Don't you always wonder about inside info coming into play here for him?
Where are you guys at? 11?
Yeah.
11 passing touchdowns. Russell Wilson, 2024. 12 to Mulsey. He had 26 last year. Can Mulsey steal him for 12?
13.
13 to Don.
14.
For Dangerous, 14 to Mulsey. For a guy who did not throw a passing touchdown in the preseason, but he finally led a drive, going once.
15.
To Donnie, 15. For the presumed starter, going once.
16.
16 to Mulsey. 16 passing touchdowns, old Mulsey. Going once.
17.
17 to Don. That's an average of one per game if he plays all 17. He did not last year because he got benched by Sean Payton. Going once. Going twice. 17 passing touchdowns. Sold to Don Football.
It's like me hedging my bets. I think he's going to play well enough to keep the job all year, but Steelers Auction House, very serious business, and I don't want to overcommit Donnie to my personal hunch. You know what this is displaying on my part? Humility. Just because I think something is going to happen doesn't mean I'm so married to it that you were going to drive the price into the 20s for me.
Next up, Pat Freiermuth receiving yards with the Steelers in 2024. We'll start the bidding at 250 receiving yards.
251.
I will go 300. Ba-ba-na-na-na-na.
301.
Na-na-na-na. I will go 308, his exact number of receiving yards last year.
309.
I will go 500.
501.
I will go 515.
520.
I will go 550.
551.
I will go 570.
571.
I will go 600.
601.
I will go 620.
621.
I will go 630. Pat Freiermuth receiving yards to me going once. 630, Pat Freiermuth receiving yards to me going twice. 630, Pat Freiermuth receiving yards sold.
If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. I feel like I've got the Donnie thing going here. Haven't played one yet. You know what he's doing here, Donnie. Again, I'm seeing all the angles. I'm like, what's his name in Hangover? I'm the one-man wolf pack.
Second Hangover reference of the day. I haven't seen that movie in a while. It is rewatchable.
Legitimately, when it came out, one of the very funniest movies I've seen in a theater. Crowd was all gassed up to see it. Like, felt original.
Guy jumps out of the trunk.
The whole thing was just
Leslie Chow.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Just very
Ken Jeong.
Very legitimately funny movie. Here's what he's doing with that one, though, Donnie. I'll tell you right away. He thinks Fields is taking over at some point, okay? Here's the second part. Go look up Cole Kmet last year for the Bears. Had 719. So he's doing a little bet hedging. He's got Artie Smith offense, likes the tight end, thinks Fields is going to be in there, thinks Pat... You know what else this must mean? I just had the eureka moment. He thinks Ayuk's off.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
Because if Ayuk's here and Pickens is here, is Pat really getting up near six bills?
We'll see about that. Last one, Van Jefferson catches.
Oh, God. Don't make us do this.
Van Jefferson catches. We will start at one.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Oh, jeez. Six.
Seven.
Donnie, care to get in here? Eight.
Nine.
I'll make it 10.
11.
This is another interesting measuring stick. 12.
13.
14.
15. Van Jefferson catches for the entire season. 15 to me.
16.
17.
18.
19.
You've been dogging this guy.
I know. 19, Van Jefferson.
20.
21. 21 Van Jefferson catches to me.
Oh, man.
Going once.
22.
23 Van Jefferson catches to me going once. 23 Van Jefferson catches to me going twice. 23 Van Jefferson catches sold to me. All right. 17 Russell Wilson passing touchdowns, 630 Freiermuth receiving yards, 23 Van Jefferson catches on the year.